How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet, American Forces Network as well, the cable radio network most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. 2 weeks until the biggest show of the year, WWE's WrestleMania, coming to us in just 2 weeks. New Orleans, Louisiana, I will be there live. We'll be doing some shows, number of shows for WrestlingObserver.com from down there in New Orleans. And today on the show, we are going to talk about what's coming. We got a lot of matches signed for WrestleMania so far, including a guaranteed three-way in the main event. It is going to be Randy Orton defending the WWE title against Dave Bautista and the winner of a Triple H Daniel Bryan match earlier on in the show. Is Daniel Bryan going to win the WWE title at WrestleMania? Or is Triple H going to go into the main event and we'll have three heels battling each other to close out the show? My guess is it will not be the latter. But hey, it's WrestleMania. You never know. We're going to talk about that here on the program today, plus all of the matches. Who is signed for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? We're going to talk about that. Plus, it is New Orleans. It is the WrestleMania weekend. And so there are a lot of different shows. Ring of Honor is going to be there. Dragon Gate USA. WrestleCon is going to be there. There's a Jim Ross show there. Mick Foley is doing a raffle, which, by the way, is ending, I believe, when this show goes off the air, maybe an hour afterwards. So we'll talk about that here on the program as well. And, of course, all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts is going to be talked about today. We got so much stuff, and we're going to kick it off when we come back from the break. Plus, throughout the show, we're going to be taking your phone calls as well, whatever's on your mind. 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of our website, WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of stuff to talk about today. WrestleMania is coming up. We've got all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts to talk about on this program today. Mike, what is going on?
Not a whole lot. It's amazing. Just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about seemingly nothing was really planned out for WrestleMania. But now the way it looks, they know where they're going and what they're going to be doing. So getting excited now. It's WrestleMania season getting close.
You know, it's funny, of the advertised card thus far, even though we a few weeks ago didn't know because it hadn't been announced on television, with a couple of exceptions, one being that the main event is now a three-way, I mean, we actually knew the card months ago. They've really stuck to their guns. John Cena, Bray Wyatt was known many, many months ago. The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar was known, I mean, last year. Randy Orton and Batista had been planned forever. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal is, granted, new. And the Daniel Bryan Triple H match with the winner getting a shot at the main event is also new as well. But it certainly plays into all of the storylines.
And we knew Brian was going to be there anyway with Sheamus.
Brian and Sheamus was the original plan, which, you know, that was a plan like after the Royal Rumble. And I remember it was just kind of like, really? Because if you recall the Royal Rumble, Daniel Bryan was not announced for the Rumble. But a lot of fans figured that he was going to be in it. And so when he wasn't, my God, the outrage the next day. And that night as well, but that night and the next day. I remember that we did a post-Royal Rumble show live on WrestlingObserver.com, and it crashed because so many people were trying to listen to the show. Everybody was outraged. And then the next day, we had a ridiculous amount of traffic. And meanwhile, at the time, they were talking about, well, you know, Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania is going to be facing Sheamus. And I was like, Sheamus, this is your brilliant idea? And then, of course, all of the hijacking began to occur. And the next thing you know, we've got Daniel Bryan here in the main event. But a funny road that is twisted along. And Mike, my first question for you today, I asked this to Todd Martin on the show we did on Thursday. Vince McMahon is not going to be around forever. And at some point he's going to be replaced by Triple H, most likely. In fact, certainly Triple H, unless something goes horribly wrong. So Vince McMahon and Triple H are in many ways alike, and in some ways they are very different. And I was told that one of the big differences between these two guys is that Triple H gets very, he likes to confront the internet, I guess is the best way. I forget the exact way it was termed to me, but he is proactive. He will respond to the internet. Unlike Vince McMahon, who will just like completely ignore it. Triple H will cut promos. He will make insider references. He will reference what people are thinking that they write on the internet. Very different from Vince McMahon. And here we are with a situation where the hardcore fans, they really did change the course of WrestleMania by getting Daniel Bryan in this main event. Do you feel, Mike, that as time goes on and Triple H takes over, we'll see more of this? Or is this kind of like a phase where eventually Triple H will sort of get over the internet audience, so to speak?
I could see there being as much of it or more of it because he's just more technologically savvy. He came up with, you know, when did the internet first start really getting prevalence? It was in towards the Attitude Era. And then, you know, it kind of rolled obviously into the 2000s and where we are now with everything
reactive.
Kind of flipping over.
Reactive. That was a term that was used. More reactive to the internet.
Oh, yeah. And that's not a bad thing, especially when you're trying to base a lot of your business around something that is being streamed, you know, basically over the internet when it comes to WWE Network. So no matter how you get it, it's not like it's on traditional cable means. And even if it was, again, it's still something shooting through a wire. So he's very, you know, to me, he's very good with that stuff. And I think they've done a great job creatively like they did in Chicago, where they put their minds to it and they knew exactly how to get out of a bad situation, and they rolled the dice and it came out great by playing kind of the fans against themselves and using what the fans were doing and those hardcore fans and the internet fans using that and utilizing it. And I think they will continue to do that. Now, I think where the problem is where how will they be able to keep up with it? Will somebody always be there to care about it and you know, really keep their finger on the pulse of things, you know, as you get distracted and things like that? But I just think it's so much a part of all of our lives now, and it's not going anywhere. You know, Twitter or Facebook, something new could come along and replace those things, but they're going to be replacing those things. The use of the technology is going to continue on. And again, I just think I will give him the credit and the benefit of the doubt, and not just him, a couple of the other people there too, that because of their ages and because of their savvy and because they've kind of grown up with it, not in the exact same way that we have, but you know, they're, you know, Triple H is a little bit older than me and stuff like that, but it's pretty much the same thing, and I think they'll continue to be completely tuned into those sorts of things.
I have been alerted on Twitter that the odds for WrestleMania are starting to come out. And now, granted, we are a long way out for the show. And so I know that some people are going to say, well, you know, don't give us these spoilers, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to read them anyway. I'm going to read some of these. Fortunately,
the news business. Can't stop
right.
News.
Hey, listen, this far out from WrestleMania, anything can happen. Except for, I don't think that Undertaker is going to lose to Brock Lesnar.
Of course, you say that, you know, anything can happen, although we just got done saying that their plans have been all laid out, and I'm sure that, you know, you saw the same thing I did, that their TV is now planned out, seemingly leading into WrestleMania over the next 2 weeks completely, so maybe things won't change.
That's right. Well, I have not, hopefully this person here will send me the Fight Ghost, if you're listening right now. Send me the link to the website with the odds, because I actually cannot find it right now, but he's given me a little bit of information here. The bookies, as of today, think that John Cena is going to put over Bray Wyatt. Bray is currently the favorite at minus Ooh. 350. What do you think of this, Mike?
I think it's great. I think this is a WrestleMania.
But do you think it's going to happen when the day comes?
Hopefully it does. Look, this is why I'm going to say yes. You're going to have, to me, I would say the Undertaker is going to win. I think you're going to have a hell of a Daniel Bryan moment to end that show. If you could have a time where John Cena was going to lose, this would be it. It would do wonders for Bray Wyatt. I would assume it would, at least. And to me, it's something that they need to do. And not only do they need to do it, I think they have the option to, because you're going to have these other things taking place that are going to be bright and shiny and send people home happy.
I just wonder when the day comes, you know, this has happened before. Yeah, Vince McMahon, he has a plan leading into a show, WrestleMania more so than ever, because You know, WrestleMania is it's the biggest show of the year, and no matter what Triple H says during promos, you normally do get the happy ending at WrestleMania. So I can see the plan being for Bray Wyatt to win all the way up till the day of the show, and then Vince deciding, it's John Cena, all these children here. We got to switch it. But we shall see. So, yeah, right now, Bray Wyatt is the favorite in that match. John Cena is plus 250. And he also notes that Undertaker, you'll be shocked to hear, is a massive favorite. And guess
how many zeros at the end of that one?
I don't have the numbers yet. Hopefully they're coming. But guess who else happens to be a gigantic favorite?
Daniel Bryan over Triple H?
Daniel Bryan. All right, so I've got a link now, and we are going to check this out here in a little while and try and get some of these other numbers.
Oh, I cannot wait to see. So I want prop bets as well as actual lines for the people in the 30-man Battle Royal.
It says scroll to bottom and click wrestling. I don't have wrestling. Oh, yeah, there we go. All right, let's take a look at this. So, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, minus 350 for Bray Wyatt, plus 250 John Cena. So that is very interesting. So we'll see. I'm skeptical that John Cena is going to lose to Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, but you never know. Could be a disqualification as well. Doesn't specify exactly how the how he will win or lose here. Daniel Bryan, Triple H in the Triple Threat Qualifier. Daniel Bryan is, in fact, a very heavy favorite. Minus 2750 to plus 1250 for Triple H. So that should not be a surprise to anybody. Does anybody listening to this right now think there's a possibility that Triple H will be... Actually, I know there are because I've heard about them on Twitter. They're certain that Triple H is beating Daniel Bryan. I'm telling you, odds or no odds, Triple H is not beating Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. We're going to talk more about this after the break. Listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, are you watching the WWE Network as we speak?
I am not, but I will turn it on.
You
I've been
better.
Efficient my duties that way.
Your girl Layla is on right now.
Oh, is she really?
She's back.
Oh, God, yes.
It is a tag team match. Layla's in there, Cameron, Naomi.
That is a six-woman tandem that I can get behind.
Oh, my God. You were not watching at the right time. I just saw a hilariously botched, I don't even know what it was supposed to be. But it was
funny. That's okay, because with the ability of this thing, I can rewind it, so no problem there.
All right. Well, everybody, we are here on the show. The phone lines are open, 855-478-4478. Toll-free in the U.S. and Canada if you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. We're talking the WrestleMania odds right now. Not surprisingly, Daniel Bryan, a favorite over Triple H, and Bray Wyatt, surprisingly, perhaps, is a favorite over John Cena, but who knows what will happen day of the show. Undertaker, believe it or not, is only a minus 3,600 favorite over Brock Lesnar, which surprises me. Brock Lesnar plus 1,400. I figured it would be this triple threat here. The field wins a triple threat is currently at -99,999. Why is Undertaker not -99,999 over Brock Lesnar? I don't know. But so far,
Wait, if the Shield is that okay, then what are the other? What is Kane and the Outlaws?
Well, I haven't got there yet. These are only the top four matches are available right now.
Okay.
So far, Daniel Bryan is in the lead to win the triple threat match. So there you go. Minus 275. The qualifying winner winning the triple threat is minus 300. Batista winning plus 250. Randy Orton winning plus 400. So they're saying Batista has a better chance than Orton. And originally, Batista was supposed to beat Orton for the title. But now that Daniel Bryan has been thrown in, such is life. Plus 1,500 for Triple H winning the triple threat. So what they're saying, believe it or not, is there is a better chance of Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker than Triple H winning the triple threat match for the title. What do you think about that, Twitter? I can't believe the people that actually thought that Triple H was going to somehow end WrestleMania with the title. It doesn't work like that at WrestleMania, everybody. This is not 1999 anymore. It's 2014.
Even if they were to do that, and this is completely convoluted and shouldn't happen, but Vince McMahon would have to walk out. Like, Triple H would have to screw Bryan. He goes into the match and somehow wins it. And then the only thing I could think of is Vince McMahon walks out and goes, no, you screwed Daniel Bryan. He gets his chance. And then Daniel Bryan wins it. And again, there's just no reason to go through all that dumb effort to do it.
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's John from New York.
John, what's up?
I just want to have a question. I'm watching the network, and I just want to discuss the Beware of Dog pay-per-view from 96 and how it kind of impacted wrestling.
How it impacted wrestling?
Yeah, you know, it was like one of the first events that I know that basically the power went out, and I want to know exactly how that was handled with the pay-per-view guys and whatnot.
How was handled? I mean, they did the show a couple of days later, if I recall correctly. I mean, I don't think they made any sort of changes. You never know when the power is going to go out. I don't think WWE started bringing in new generators or anything like that. I suppose I could be wrong, but it was just kind of like a just sort of a freak thing. I would presume that if you bought the pay-per-view and the power went out, you probably just got a refund and you could order the pay-per-view when they did the second attempt. I don't know if you know any more about it, Mike, but it was just like something that happened. It wasn't something at the time that was like anything that really changed the business one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing you can do as far as generators and all that stuff. You're still at the mercy of, well, the Super Bowl last year was a great example of that. Something's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I remember the pay-per-view taking place. I it could have even been a week later for all I remember, but I remember watching it and it going out and then that was it. But as far as anything earth shattering or anything like that, maybe crossing some T's and dotting some I's as far as, you know, putting something in place, but there's nothing you really can do about something like that.
Last year's Super Bowl was New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could tell you that there are people a little bit concerned about WrestleMania this year and the power, but we'll just cross our fingers, I guess. I want to thank you very much for the call. Man, can you imagine?
That's one of those things, too, by the way, just that when a lot of people wonder why they go to the shiny new buildings for Super Bowls and things like that. But when you have groups that run events like this, you know, the infrastructure of the city and having things new and stuff like that. I mean, it matters as much to a WWE, even though in a different way, than it does to a Ring of Honor who had trouble, you know, wiring up a Florida, amphitheater or whatever it was. I mean, it's the same thing. So, you know, I can believe that there are some questions about it.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, not much. I heard y'all were talking WrestleMania odds.
Oh, yeah.
I just like the Todd's odds on another WrestleMania show, the Ring of Honor show on Friday, the Supercard of Honor. It's Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole in the ladder match, kind of concluding their little thing they've had going on. What's the Todd's odds in that match?
Well, my gut tells me, I have absolutely no idea who's going to win. My gut tells me that Adam Cole is going to leave as the undisputed champion. And the only reason I say that is because traditionally, Ring of Honor has they book like really long term. There was an Adam Cole victory that took place like months and months and months and months before he won the title. And he got that victory because they were already planning on putting the title on him like two champions later. So this is not something where it's willy-nilly who ends up the champion. I mean, they may know who the next champion is going to be. They may know when it's going to happen. They may know when the guy after that is going to win the title. They book very, very long-term. And Jay Briscoe, the reason that Jay Briscoe lost the championship in the first place was because they thought he was going to go to WWE. So him returning with that belt, I mean, that was not something they had planned for a long time. That was created because he ended up not going to WWE. So I extrapolate that into this championship match. I don't think Jay Briscoe was ever planned to be the champion at this point in Ring of Honor history. And so I think that Adam Cole is going to retain the title.
Okay, cool. I just kind of think that, too, maybe because I'd rather see Jay Briscoe win because I'm a fan of his, but seems like he's gotten the win over Adam Cole in the singles match in San Antonio. I think he pinned him again maybe over the weekend or last weekend or sometime. So, but anyway, I just wanted to see the Todd's odds on what you guys thought.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. I think Adam Cole's going over. What do you think, Mike? What a waste of a belt, by the way.
Belt is awesome. And, you know, hey, look, as long as it represents Sussex County, Delaware, you know, I'll be able to maybe drive out there and see that belt. But Dave Briscoe also doesn't need the belt. And like you were saying, for all the reasons that you said, and you look at, again, you look at the names like Elgin and there's, you know, a couple other guys. It just, it screams to me that Adam Cole leaves with the belt.
All right. The WrestleMania Battle Royal. We've got a bunch of names here. This is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Let's take a look at this. No odds, so I guess we're going to get the Todd's odds here, who Mike thinks is going to win. The announced participants, Big E Langston, Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Damian Sandow, Titus O'Neil, Christian, Sheamus, The Big Show, Mark Henry, Miz, Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre. Of this list so far, Mike, who do you think is winning this trophy?
Big Show would be an easy one because as he did the promo this week, he's always being compared to Andre and things like that. I could see Sheamus winning this thing, believe it or not, because I know how much WWE loves Sheamus. I don't know. It's like Big E Langston stands out as, you know, I would assume a guy that's not going anywhere for a while. But then again, you know, he's been saddled with that IC belt. And to me, Wade Barrett was a guy he couldn't screw up, and they seem to. But Big E is just standing out to me right now. And as it stands, the Big Show is standing out to me as far as two guys who I don't think
there's any chance of Big Show winning. He just won a Battle Royal on SmackDown.
But you're right. But I could actually, again, I could see that happening to lull everybody into the big guy wins the first ever big one. And then if this is going to be something they do every year, then I don't know when you have your Bad News Brown, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 4 type situation. But you're probably going to have one of those. But again, if it's Show, I could see winning again just for the traditional reason of it's a good feel good, you know, the big guy wins it. But outside of that, when you look at the names on the list and you wonder who they have plans for, it's only to me Big E or Sheamus right now, and I'm going to go with Big E.
Now, let me ask you this question, because on the surface it sounds preposterous. What do you think about the idea of the Ultimate Warrior being a surprise entrant in this Battle Royal?
I think in hindsight, then you shouldn't have done that with the Royal Rumble this year. You should have had one planned out where there were no surprises because there's always a handful at the Rumble every year. But I will say this, if he runs out there and does that and then knocks out, I don't know if it ends up being like Damian Sandow or whatever it would be at the end. I guess that's not a bad thing. But then again, to me, that's a Royal Rumble thing to
do.
I'm
not saying a winner. We got to go to a break. We'll talk more about this when we come back. I'm just saying an appearance. I've got an idea. We'll talk about it after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, plus radio shows every single day of the week. I personally have got another one up tonight. Mike Sempervivi's got another one up tonight. I'll be live midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, only at WrestlingObserver.com. Myself and my buddy Vinny talking Ring of Honor. We talking NXT, and we'll be talking Total Divas, which I'm going to be talking about with Mike here as well. Tomorrow, Dave Meltzer and I talking Raw. We got Raw, SmackDown. We review all of the shows. So much stuff up at WrestlingObserver.com. And as a subscriber, for only $10.99 a month, you get full access to every single show we have ever done. If you love this show, Wrestling Observer Live, you only get to hear it once per week. You are missing out daily shows, daily archives, on-demand content. Over 5,000 shows are available on demand. Every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available for subscribers. Head up there and check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. We have free shows linked up on the right-hand side of the page. We've got a 24/7 live streaming audio feed. which features our live shows and the latest free shows streaming 24/7. And as a subscriber, you get so much more. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. You will not regret your subscription. So much great stuff up there. Audio, newsletters, tons more that you can only get as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be talking about the Ultimate Warrior potentially entering the Andre the Giant Battle Royal in just a moment. But first off, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Chris on Long Island.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, love the show. You guys are talking about the odds and everything. I got to tell you, I love the odds for the John Cena Bray Wyatt match because I've been thinking all along that he's actually going to put Bray Wyatt over. If you look at it, this is the first time in, recent memory that John Cena is nowhere near the main event of WrestleMania. And he's going up against a guy that not only is a good hard worker, but he has probably the most captivating gimmick in recent memory. Now, you think about it, that Bray Wyatt gimmick is money. And I know that the CHD, the long-wanted Cena heel turn, is probably not going to happen out of this. But I will have a whole new respect for John Cena if he does put Bray Wyatt over. And this will actually give him a chance possibly to revamp himself. Maybe he will go away for a while. Maybe he comes back as a heel. But I just have a feeling that this right here is going to be good for all parties involved. You know what I mean?
Well, you have a new respect for John Cena if the match involves about 8,000 run-ins, a ref bump, and Bray Wyatt ekes out a victory?
Probably not. No, because then that just looks like protection.
Cool, I do expect that. Do you really expect that Bray Wyatt would beat John Cena clean?
No, but, you know, hope springs eternal, right?
You know what? You're right. You never know.
He should.
That's right.
You know, the whole thing is, you know, if you look at it, they've been setting it up pretty good with Cena getting, you know, kayfabe injuries, so the knee injury and everything like that, and, you know, just getting these ritual beatdowns, and then, you know, he comes out there and cuts a promo, and Bray Wyatt cuts a promo 10 times better. The fact is, Cena's character is stale, and he's, you know, he's putting on great matches, and his matches are getting love from the crowd, but when he goes out there, he can't help the fact that 80% of the crowd is breaking their throats booing for this guy. Maybe he needs to go away for a little while. Maybe he needs to come back as a different guy. Maybe he needs to come back and heal it out for a second, and then that'll give him a chance to revamp his character.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. One thing I have to say is that if you look at the Bray Wyatt John Cena storyline, it's actually very similar to the Undertaker storyline, is that John Cena is a guy who's been around forever. He's starting to get old. His body is starting to fall apart. He hasn't got it anymore. And there's a new guy on the block coming to knock him off his pedestal. Now, usually when you tell a story like that, especially in pro wrestling, the old guy ends up proving he can still go. Which is why I'm surprised a little bit at the odds for this match. I think that we're reading too much into it, thinking that John Cena is just going to put this guy over clean and pass the torch. I think if Bray Wyatt wins, it's going to be like some sort of, like I said, entire Wyatt clan runs in, ref bump, all sorts of stuff. Or just John Cena wins via DQ somehow. I don't expect this to be a torch-passing moment, but I could be wrong. If Bray Wyatt wins, I could be wrong. Now, Mike, my Warrior plan. All I'm saying is that I know that Warrior was open to the idea of doing a match at WrestleMania. As somebody, I believe, called in on the show and noted, Warrior could run down, get in the ring, get like a gigantic pop, throw a guy or two out, leap over the top rope, thus eliminating himself, and then run to the back, and that's the last we ever see of him. Now, one would say, logically, Brian, you're a complete idiot. If the Warrior is going to wrestle, then, especially at WrestleMania, you should build it up. It should not be like a surprise. That's WCW-level idiocy. I disagree, because WrestleMania this year, no one, I shouldn't say nobody, very few people are buying WrestleMania the day of the show. You know, the people that buy the day of the show are the people that are not, they're not trusting in the network. They're afraid the network is going to go down, so they're buying it on pay-per-view just to be safe. I think that most people who are going to watch WrestleMania this year are already subscribed to the network. I think that anybody that buys WrestleMania on the day of the show is going to buy it on the day of the show, whether Warrior is announced or not. I don't think that Warrior being announced for WrestleMania is going to add one additional buy this year more than ever. So you may as well just do a big surprise shock appearance. He gets in, he gets out, and he's gone, right?
Now, see, I'd save it for Extreme Rules, and I'd recreate him running down and beating up the Honky Tonk Man, because why not let the Honky Tonk Man get paid one more time, too? I like a good sight gag, and if they do it here, I'm, you know, what can I really say? It's not like it's really going to bother me all that much if it happens. I just, I guess you could do it, it just seems so random for him to run down, run in the ring, knock somebody over the top rope, then jump back out again and run all the way back, especially when it's not, you know, it's not intervals. They're going to start, everybody's
well,
going to
yeah,
start in the ring.
That is the biggest problem with my theory. It's not a Royal Rumble. He would have to start in the ring. He wouldn't be running to the ring for any reason except he's late. So that, more than any other reason, is why I don't think it's going to happen. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yes, hello, Mr. Figure Four Weekly and Mr. Audio Nightmare. This is Scott from Los Angeles. How are you guys?
We're doing great. What's up?
Not too much. One compliment, one question. To Mr. Alvarez, I really enjoy reading your newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, and to any hardcore wrestling fan there, I recommend it 100%.
Well, thank you for the compliment, but most of it is David Bixenspan of late, so you can thank him and Vinny.
And Vinny as well, too, not to leave anybody out. And, of course, the great Mr. Dave Meltzer himself.
That's right.
Now, one question. You know, you're talking about WrestleMania and WrestleMania. I'm going to talk about WrestleMania in general. You know, Hulk Hogan, of course, is hosting WrestleMania, but nobody's really talking about him that much. I have a feeling, I don't know, this just might be a guess, or do you think, in your opinion, that they may use Hogan other than just a host, like maybe possibly being the special guest referee for one of the big matches?
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know for sure, but from having seen both Hulk Hogan and Mick Foley on television quite a bit of late, I think Hulk Hogan is in worse shape physically than Mick Foley. I could be wrong. Uh-huh. It's probably a toss-up. But Mick Foley cannot get clearance to go anywhere near a wrestling ring. Mick Foley cannot even get medical clearance to be a special referee. The best he can get clearance for is to be an outside of the ring enforcer that doesn't touch anybody. So my right. guess is that Hulk Hogan will not get clearance to do anything physical, including refereeing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I can understand that. You guys have a great show. Thank you very much for taking my call. And thanks again. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. And you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
John from Arkansas.
What's up, John?
And I'm with you, Brian, on the Ultimate Warrior idea. And, you know, I know people are going to say it is random, but let's look at the track record of the Ultimate Warrior. He's pretty much random. So I think it would actually fit. And I think it would be one of those nice little neat nostalgia moments. And, you know, it's a great, great show of faith by WWE's point to inject the Warrior in there and just let him have his own little special moment for his fans.
Would it really be the end of the world, everybody, if everybody started in the ring, Warrior's not there, you do a battle royal, you eliminate, say, 15 guys, there's 10 guys left, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Warrior's music hits. He runs down. He eliminates a guy or two. He goes over the top rope and he runs to the back. I mean, are people really going to riot at WrestleMania if something like that happens? It doesn't make any sense in traditional battle royal terms, but would anyone really care?
I think
the only way that anybody cares is if they recreate that whole scene in WCW where Hulk Hogan's looking into the mirror and then sees the Warrior.
Well, that we can't do. I will not allow that.
Yeah, that was horrible and atrocious. That should have never happened in the first place. Much like that match, but hey, what can you do?
It was one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
Yeah. And of course, I've been privileged to plenty of Cameron's matches here recently that have made me cringe.
Oh, I will not allow you to speak badly about Cameron. Not
either
allowed.
Will I. Shocking. I don't like this. No, don't you can't say anything bad about Cameron.
That's
in
right.
Fact, one of my favorite matches of all time is now Gail Kim and Oksana or whatever it was she said on Tough Enough.
Who was it? It was like Gail Kim and Alicia Fox or something?
Yes.
Fox. No, Oksana versus Alicia Fox. Oh, my God.
I mean, I can't fault the girl for being clueless to the product, but I mean, come on, if you're going to get involved in an industry, it kind of helps that, you know, maybe you should do some research and actually, you know, get more familiar with what you're getting into.
Look at some of the hires, well, though, of WWE over the last, let's say, 10 years.
I disconnected him. He was talking trash about Cameron anyway. No, but let me tell you something about Cameron. This is going to sound like the most backhanded compliment of all time, but I'm going to do it anyway. When people say that Cameron is clueless about wrestling, to be fair, Cameron is clueless about everything. So we can't hold being clueless about wrestling against her. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I was told that when she was signed, because the cast of Total Divas was on the Arsenio Hall show, and I was told by a very good source that when this was told to Cameron, she did not know who Arsenio Hall was. So, now granted, Arsenio Hall, I mean, she is young. So I guess it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that she would never have heard of Arsenio Hall. But he is back with a new show. It's not like you would have had to have been, you know, a teenager in the 90s to remember who Arsenio Hall was, which she wasn't. How old is Cameron?
I was going to say, she's got to be like 23 or something,
right? Is
he
really that young?
She might be.
I can't hold it.
Look, if she didn't know who Arsenio was, I mean, that's our generation.
87.
You know?
So she is 26 years old. She was born in 1987. So I should be, to be fair, I mean, if you were not following the recent career of Arsenio Hall, it is possible that she legitimately, for no fault of her own, might not have any idea who Arsenio Hall is.
She didn't see Harlem Nights.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Great movie.
Bix, by the way, has alerted me that it was Melina versus Alicia Fox, which sounds horrifying. Can someone find that match for me so that I can watch it like here on the air and do commentary, so we can do a recap of the match that young Cameron said was her favorite match of all time. All right, everybody, we got to head to a break. Back in just a moment with a lot more. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to talk more about this after the top of the hour break, but somebody emailed me a report from GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. It says, new Jarrett promotion to broadcast on CMT in 2015. It says, Jeff Jarrett's new wrestling promotion will reportedly begin airing on CMT in January 2015, the information comes from Toby Keith, a major financial partner of Jarrett's who has strong ties to the network and has been leaking bits of news since getting involved. A reality show starring Jeff and wife Karen Jarrett, reportedly also in the works, will serve as a vehicle to launch the new promotion a few months later. Now, granted, I have not finished reading this week's Observer. Maybe this information is in there. I think I would have heard about it by now. This is the first I've heard about all of this. So if anybody knows the source of this besides GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, let me know. But that's up there.
They're saying it's from the Mid-South Indie Wrestling News, if that means anything at all.
Mid-South Indie Wrestling News. Oh, you're right. I jumped right over that part. Mid-South Indie Wrestling News. So very interesting. That would be a less than a year away. But a reality show to kick off a new promotion to be broadcast on CMT does fit into a lot of the rumors of late, but I don't have a second source for that. Now, Jeff Jarrett is going to make an announcement, I believe, the day after WrestleMania. So we're going to know a lot more very soon. We'll talk about this more in the second hour. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Boy, have I got some news for everybody. I've got a lot of information about this Alicia Fox versus Melina match that Cameron has stated was her favorite match of all time. I have found a couple of them. One of them took place November 19, 2009, on Raw in New York City. I watched this match during the hourly break because it's only 90 seconds long. And I am happy to report, as I apologize to young Miss Cameron, not a bad match. a fine 90-second professional wrestling match between Melina and Alicia Fox. Now, I was also alerted that SummerSlam 2010, which is available on the WWE Network, also features a Melina versus Alicia Fox match. I have got SummerSlam queued up right now. I'm getting ready to watch that match as we proceed here during the program. And I would like to note that this is the show. This was the SummerSlam with, it was Team John Cena against the Nexus. I forget what it was next. What do they call Cena's group? Do you remember, Mike?
Oh, God, I can't. I'm trying to think of what it was.
Regardless, it's the Nexus against John Cena and his crew.
Cena's heroes.
Ryback is significantly bigger today than he was when he was a part of the Nexus. Remember,
feeding him more now.
He was in the Nexus, and then he got hurt, and somehow he has come back from injury, and he's just enormous now. So that's the first thing.
What it do?
That's the first thing I know. Dolph Ziggler coming out now as the Intercontinental Champion. Sheamus apparently was a WWE Champion on this show. 4 years is a long time, everybody. Let me tell you. It's a long time, but at the same time, it's really not that long. All right, back
remember that they ended up burying Sheamus.
Actually, hold on. We'll talk about this when we come back from the break. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Wrestling Observer Live is live every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I am here watching Melina versus Alicia Fox at the SummerSlam pay-per-view 2010. Melina came out dressed as an Aztec warrior, and then it took about 2 minutes to take all that gear off. She decided here for SummerSlam to wear flesh-colored tights so that she looks naked, except for two symbols of some sort on her buttocks and another symbol over her lady parts. Is that the most PG way that I can explain this here on Sports Byline USA? It is
they go well with the big fuzzy boots.
The fuzzy boots, it looks like Spanish rice, actually, is all over her her boots. I don't know if you've ever had that, Mike. It's very good. So anyway, that's what we've got here, and this is not as good as their match on Raw.
An all-time great, though. Did you hear this announcing from Michael Cole calling Melina a all-time great because she has held both the women's title and the Divas title?
Wow. This one is for, I guess, the Divas title, the one that looks like a butterfly. So yes. If you've got the WWE Network, you can join us and watch this match. We are taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Oh, man, you called at the right time.
That's what I was hearing about. You talk about the Divas and everything.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, did you see the article, I believe it was on the network, on the website or the app, where they are attributing the improved Diva matches to Sarah Amato, a.k.a. Sarah Del Rey?
Well, I would not be surprised. Do you mean the women's matches in general or just the ones down in developmental?
Well, I mean, all over. That's what the article was saying, you know. Am I correct in saying, Brian, that she is over all the training for the women?
I don't know about – as far as I know, she's not going on the road. So the girls that are on the road, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know who they're training with before the shows, but certainly she's down there in developmental. And the girls in developmental are good, at least by WWE standards over the last couple of years. They're really good. So whoever's responsible, two thumbs up.
Well, I've given her a lot of credit for it, and I wouldn't be surprised if she was a major part of it.
Great.
You were saying about the other different groups that were going to be in New Orleans during that weekend. I have to let Mike know that cheerleader Melissa and the Shimmer group will be down there too, and she's taking on Lufisto in a 2-out-of-3-fall match for the Shimmer title.
And
they had actually a really good match a couple of years ago, and I'm not the biggest Lufisto fan, but I mean, cheerleader Melissa is really good, and again, that match was really good, and Shimmer's really good, and if there's ever been one thing I would be a little jealous of Ed in San Antonio over is I believe he got himself front row seats, and Shimmer shows are great. I've never been to one live, but I've seen DVDs, and it is awesome if you are a fan of women's wrestling.
Oh, my God. Melina is screeching at the top of her lungs.
One other thing. I was going something that's not such a good subject on women's wrestling. What in God's name are they doing with the beautiful people?
What do they do? They're reuniting them.
I mean, but now they've got Angelina attacking Madison Rayne. Are they going to be heels or faces or
they're,
what?
They're heels. They've turned heel.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering. I haven't seen Velvet show any of the signs of a heel. That's what I'm saying.
I see. Yeah, Velvet and Angelina are turning heel to the best of my knowledge. I don't know what this means for Chris Sabin in that storyline, if there even is a storyline with Chris Sabin and the Beautiful People anymore or Velvet. But, yeah. Hey, by the way, you know better than anybody. I don't know if anybody is knows this. Why is there, has anyone ever explained why cheerleader Melissa is not in WWE?
She had one match, I remember several years, it's back when they had Sunday Night Heat. She wrestled Tara. It was Victoria then. And she was under the name of Melissa Anderson. And she put Victoria over. It was a short match. I just don't know, Brian, to be honest with you. It wasn't a bad match.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of cheerleader Melissa matches. And last year I went to Cauliflower. I think it was last year I went to Cauliflower Alley. Maybe been 2 years ago, but she was there and they were doing a raffle. And so they had cheerleader Melissa go around and sell raffle tickets. And, of course, you know, you have cheerleader Melissa go sell raffle tickets, and you're going to sell 10 million raffle tickets, which is exactly what happened. But I just remember being there, and I was like, this girl is really good-looking. Mm-hmm. Why is she unsigned? I don't know if maybe there's something I'm missing, maybe a story I've forgotten, but it's astonishing to me.
I've said that kind of openly all the time. It stands out like a sore thumb because she looks great. She's, you know, got a physical presence that's not like, you know, dude-like or too weird or anything like that. But she's got this physical presence, and she can actually wrestle really well. And that means she can work with the most inexperienced girl in the world who's clunky and make it look good, which in a way is what WWE needs. And it doesn't make any sense what TNA ever did with her either. That was completely ridiculous.
Oh, they
and why that
to
ever
toe?
Happened, who knows?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, they had Hamada too, so.
Oh, Hamada, yeah.
Hamada, excuse me.
All right,
y'all,
Jim.
Y'all have a good one now.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call, Jim. Yeah, I remember when they get cheerleader Melissa, one of the loveliest women wrestlers in the world, great physique, so to speak, and what do? They cover her head to toe.
Yeah, TNA, that is.
Come on.
Raisha Saeed, Raka Khan.
Ridiculous. It just boggles my mind. Blows my mind. Got a lot of Twitter questions here. We got a lot of news. By the way, there is a... someone notes here, by the way, SummerSlam 2010 was the return of Daniel Bryan. If you remember when he was briefly fired for choking Michael Cole with a tie. This is a show he returned on. There is, by the way, I have the network up here, but I don't have a cable. I don't have cable up here in the office, so I cannot watch UFC as we speak. But there is a UFC going on right now, UFC live from Brazil. So if you happen to have the TV on and have nothing to watch, head over to FS1 and watch UFC in Brazil. Henderson in the main event tonight against Shogun Hua. Who's your prediction, Mike?
I'm distracted. Lay Cool just walked out to confront Melina with the crossover her lady parts on her naked trunks, and they have the Haffy Women's Championship. I forgot about that.
I had also forgotten about that. Yeah.
I'm going with Hua, by the way.
You going with Hua?
Yes.
Interesting. I don't really have a pick on this fight here. I'd have to really think about it. I realize what happened the first time, but I guess we shall see. The Raw show from Monday night with the destruction of Daniel Bryan at the hands of Triple H. What did you think of this angle?
It was okay. I know you're going to get killed by association because this is one of the things you're getting killed over. But I hope this means we're going to see Vince McMahon, because I know they needed to do something in a beating like this. Again, made sense to me for them to do. It was so brutally bad. It kind of made you think, Jesus, this is something they could have did 3 months ago with Brian trying to come back and overcome from it. It was such a, you know, anytime you use a chair shot to the head anymore, you know, that's a big deal. And they treated it, you know, as it was a big deal. But Brian can't be there this week, which means you're going to have some representation of him. And I don't know. I know you were ripped for saying Vince McMahon, but this would be a perfect time for him to come out.
I don't know if Vince is coming back before WrestleMania, but I'm telling you guys, Vince is coming back for real this time.
Well, I mean, it would make sense if he did, because I don't know who his mouthpiece is going to be. Is it going to be, you know, Brie Bella? Is it, whatever it is, Brian, and I know after, and this drove me nuts.
Actually, hold that thought. We'll talk about what drove you nuts when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Just a few notes here, then we'll get back to Mike. First off, Daniel Bryan has, in fact, been working the house shows this weekend, including wrestling cage matches on the main event of the Daniel Bryan tour. So likely he will be on Raw tomorrow night. Tony here notes that Daniel Bryan actually choked Justin Roberts with his own tie, not Michael Cole. And finally, a review of the Melina versus Alicia Fox review from SummerSlam, or that match from SummerSlam. It sucked. The Raw match was much better. So hopefully Cameron saw the Raw match and not the one from the actual pay-per-view. All right, Mike, the floor is yours.
So he's wrestling. And, you know, I guess that, hey, things that happen on TV don't happen on the house shows. And it's not like they come up with this great planning and lay everything out on the table and Bill Watts style know exactly what they're going to do in every town, you know, 3 months before it happens and doing interviews and all that stuff. But to me, then, you completely wasted the chance to hit somebody in the head with a chair. Now, I'm not advocating this, but I would trust heavily in Daniel Bryan and Triple H to pull off a move like that that looked violent. And it was violent. You know, it was a violent act. And to me, you wasted it then. If he comes back this week, oh, why? I mean, he got slaughtered, and I understand that, you know, you could have him be somewhat Superman-like, but I would not then, in that case, I would have beaten him up, I would have thrown him in the ring and pedigreed him, but I would not have, you know, set him up with his head against the post and then hit him with a chair. If you're just going to go, after the show on Backstage Pass, which it... They said, I mean, it was, you know, they somebody mentioned his head, but that was quickly out of the way. And then they were talking about how he could hurt his torso. And, you know, the Albert and some other people, you know, they were explaining it away when the doctor said it of, well, you know, your hands are behind your back and you're risking rib strains and stuff and all that stuff. But it's like, no, he just got hit in the head with a chair. You're putting a neck brace on him. You're wheeling him out slowly, and you're showing him being put into the ambulance with everybody standing there solemnly as he goes by with his girlfriend getting into the ambulance with him. Then what'd you do that for? I mean, it just seems like it was, you know, it was really a waste to have done that if you're not going to follow up on it. And I'm sorry, even though everybody in WWE is somewhat of a Superman, and you want your stars to be. He was hit in the head with a chair up against the post in a move we never see anymore that was completely psychotic and even brought Stephanie to have pause for a minute as she looked at Triple H right after he did it before she started smiling again. I just think it was the wrong thing to do and a waste if you're not going to follow up on it. If he comes bouncing out there and he's barely selling it, or he's got the big cartoonish wrap around his head, fine, because it leads into WrestleMania and everything. I just think it's a waste, and it's something that, you know, you've been saving it this whole time because you don't like these shots to the head, and nor should you, but now you just did it and wasted it. I don't get that part.
Let me ask you a question.
But again, that's looking into the future. They could follow up on this great tomorrow night. I just,
Well, hold on.
You know, they didn't follow up on it immediately after the show.
Let's say that tomorrow night they say Daniel Bryan is badly injured. He will not be on Raw tonight. We're hoping he'll be here next week. We're hoping he'll be able to make it to WrestleMania. Now, let's say at the same time you're also a fan and you went to all of the house shows and you saw Daniel Bryan wrestling cage match main events. Does that bother you as a fan? Does that matter?
Yes, because I came from a different era in the 80s, you know, where things, that type of stuff actually mattered, and you'd have, you know, you'd have those things adhered to on house shows, where I don't think for my son he would care at all. You know what I mean? You could probably, you know, and again, he's only six, so I mean, you can, you know, I guess it all depends on what kind of fan you are. For me, yeah, it would kind of bother me, although again, you're paying to see those guys and there's ways around it and things like that, where again, if you gave Brian that beating and didn't do that shot at the end, you can completely pull off, you know, the authority says he's going to wrestle even though he's hurt, or you can have him say, I'm going to wrestle and I don't care what the doctors say, whatever it is to wrestle on the house shows, then it would make sense. It was just, it was such a dramatic thing that we never see anymore. And it was such a big money thing that it just, it would be, to me, it's just wasted then. And why did you do it?
Any other thoughts from Raw this Monday?
Not really, other than Titus O'Neil, I don't think, is Irish.
What?
I don't think Titus O'Neil is Irish.
What does this have to do with anything? Am I missing something?
Well, he wrestled Sheamus, remember?
I do remember that.
And I mean, he came out with a orange beard and a green top hat, and I think even with a name like O'Neil, I just don't think he's Irish. He's hungry,
Raw?
But he's not Irish.
This was on Raw?
Wasn't it?
No.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
I don't remember this ever happening on Raw.
Yes. Yes, he wrestled Sheamus. It was this past Monday night. And then they even had a rematch, didn't they, on Main Event or something like that?
Have I completely lost my mind?
Hornswoggle was there with new bad hair.
Hold on a second.
How I'm telling you, this happened.
Now I got to check this out here. Hold on, everybody. Now I'm just...
Somebody send Brian a picture of Titus looking all Irish.
I'll just check my own notes here. I mean, obviously I saw the match, right? Or did I not?
I don't know. You don't watch SmackDown, right?
Well, how dare you? I watch every SmackDown every week.
Mm-mm-mm.
Sheamus and Titus, you're right.
See?
I don't remember Titus wearing an orange beard.
Yeah, he's getting into the ring, looking all festive.
This was one... You know why? Because I was paying attention to Christian, where he was talking about... He was burying the announcers for them burying him, and then he called JBL fat, and JBL told him it was a sign of affluence.
I'm using that one from now on.
Yeah, that's right. And then Sheamus, that's right, Sheamus used the midget as a foreign object, which was not a disqualification. I'd be so upset if I were Hornswoggle.
Why?
I'd be so upset. Because, listen, you're telling me that I physically touched another opponent... And I was not considered a human being. That should have been a disqualification.
Well, I guess you could say something like
this.
Yeah,
I'd be infuriated if I were him. If I was having a match with Vinny, and Dave ran in and he threw you into me, that would be disqualification, right?
Yeah.
But because Hornswoggle is a little person, apparently that's not a disqualification. I would be extremely upset about this turn of events.
Well, he's about half the size of like a Titus O'Neil.
What's that have to do with anything? He's still a person.
Because then it's half a disqualification, which just makes it a diss. It just makes it a diss, Brian. And they dissed him, but it's not a disqualification. And you know what? I would rather, if I'm him, have a downside guarantee by the WWE than being out there having to especially with all the tattoos and the really ugly hair. Well, I mean, it's a lot easier for him to do this than go be one of the lollipop kids somewhere.
Hey, he's in the Muppet movie. He does a song and dance number.
That, really?
Yeah. That's true. Take your child to it.
Good on him. See, that means a SAG card is a coming for Hornswoggle.
Yeah. I don't know if he actually sings.
Oh, well.
Yeah, how about that? Yep. There it is. Titus O'Neil with his hat and his goatee.
I think the split with him and Darren Young.
I think
Darren
I had a
Young,
terrible glitch during his ring entrance. That's what happened.
This, him and Darren Young they needed to be broken up so we could see this.
Mm-hmm. Look at this. WWE.com in their Raw preview for tomorrow. It says here that in a career of statement beatings, Triple H may have topped himself last week when he hired a crew of fake police officers. Which, by the way, speaking of, you know, that's not legal. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong.
To hire
a bunch of men to impersonate police officers, cuff a man, and beat him? That is an illegal act.
Especially when you've got a publicly traded company.
Regardless, it says that he beat him motionless. No motion out of Daniel Bryan, according to this article.
That was a pre-joke there.
I'm going to read this. This was actually written on WWE.com. They beat him motionless, injuring the yes man's shoulder. That's how they described him. The yes man. En route to sending him out of the arena on a stretcher. And then, you'll love this. Bryan amazingly gutted through the excruciating pain at WWE live events this weekend. And with the game's decree, the winner of their match joining the WWE World Heavyweight Title Contest at the Show of Shows, clearly something special will be required of Bryan on Monday. Can he deliver when it matters most? So he's on the show.
Why did you use it then? They knew it would look cool, and it did. It looked cool and everything.
I'm far more upset about the verbiage of this article than anything involving Daniel Bryan on Raw.
Well, and the fact that, again, and this was something planned, too, because right after they were talking about that shoulder as part of, like, you know, his injuries, more than him getting, you know, beamed in the head. So I don't know. Maybe he should allow chair shots again, because everybody in the WWE's got a Kaz Fujita style head.
Who wrote this article? They beat him motionless, injuring the yes man's shoulder.
The yes man.
The Show of Shows. They didn't even call it WrestleMania once in this article. What if I don't know what the Show of Shows is? Terribly.
Oh, the bad news man comes out on a scissor lift.
Hey, there's
Monday.
A byline. Anthony Benigno, I believe is the guy's name. We're going to go to break, everybody. I'm going to do some investigation. We'll be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the Internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, check out our website, WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates. We got all sorts of articles up there, all of the latest breaking news, and we have a subscriber area as well. For those of you that love audio, boy, have we got the place for you. If you like this show, Wrestling Observer Live, and you only get to hear it once per week, you are missing out. Daily radio shows, as many as 3 shows a day, every single day. I got another show coming up tonight, the Brian Avenitti Show. We'll be talking all sorts of WWE and related programming, including Total Divas, NXT, and Ring of Honor Television. Got another show, 2 shows actually tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live with Dave, talking Raw. Also got my weekly call-in show. All of these shows available on demand only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you sign up long-term, it's only $9.99 a month. Same price as the WWE Network, a great compliment. We review stuff on the WWE Network. You can watch a show and then listen to the review that we do on demand only for subscribers. And every show that we've ever done dumps into that on-demand archive. Over 5,000 hours of audio, 5,000 shows available in the archives right now dating back to 2005. All your favorite pay-per-views, all your favorite interviews, all there on demand right now for subscribers. So if you love the network, you're figuring out how to use this on-demand thing, I strongly recommend adding WrestlingObserver.com to your subscription pile. Again, long-term subscription, only $9.99 a month. Check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, the preview I was reading on WWE.com was written by a guy named Anthony Benigno, I believe is his name. And he writes all sorts of things up at WWE.com. You could do a search at WWE.com and read more of his poetry and prose.
Does he write any good ones? They all like that?
Listen to this. Is his recap of Total Divas. I'm only going to read the first paragraph. 3 things in this life are certain: death, taxes, and Total Divas. And good news to all those poor souls parched from an unholy drought of Brie mode, the confused followers waving girl bye to no one in particular, and cat enthusiasts chronicling King Louis fan fictions across their tumblers, because we, period, are, period, back, period. And with Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan's wedding on the horizon, wedding bells are a-ringing and casting a long shadow over the party-hardy ladies of E's newest hit.
I wonder if that column was also posted up at thebomb.com.
I nearly vomited reading that. That's never happened before.
I think that may have been a little, there's some superfluous language in there.
There's maybe a little bit. Are you watching Total Divas?
I am not.
Mike, what is wrong with you?
Hey, man, look, I can watch Raw and SmackDown and Main Event and NXT and all these other great things because of the network and because of Hulu. It is not my fault that the E! Networks and NBC Universal have this issue with the Food Network and E! Amongst other things not being shown on Hulu or any other outlet. I don't know what it is about Total Divas that's so special that neither WWE or NBC Universal can give me another crack at this show.
I've got a tip for the folks at WWE.com as well. I suggest you turn off the ability for people to comment on articles. There are 6 comments here. The first comment is, Daniel Bryan, I hope, beat Triple H. No capitalization whatsoever. The second comment merely says, wow. The third comment is this person wondering how much longer Vince and Shane are going to allow Paul and Stephanie to run WWE into the ground, because everybody knows the nose only married her for the money. This person wants to see Triple H ban Daniel Bryan, except he spelled it banned. He does not like Daniel Bryan at all. Do you know what I think about Daniel Bryan? And he has nothing else to say. And then the final comment here from Kelvin simply says, WWE. This does not make their website look like the... This advertisers should not check out these comments. Let's just put it that way. Mike, tell me about
these people are on the board.
Tell me about the New Japan Cup on a more serious topic.
I tell you, from how this thing it shook out, it wasn't much more serious than what you were just talking about there with that article. In fact, I don't know if that man's got enough colorful language to make last night's show sound good or anything. Disappointing, really disappointing.
What are you talking about? Bad Luck Fale was in the semifinals.
There you go. This thing opened up on Saturday or Friday night into Saturday morning. In Nagoya was the New Japan Cup round 2, and it just really surprised. The thing is set up to give Okada another contender to his title belt, and over the years, you know, guys like Giant Bernard, Prince Albert, won to face Tanahashi, which was a big deal over there, the way his character was in Japan. And you know, it's used as this setup, Hiroki Goto to face the champion and get a title shot. This year's was seemingly more like WWE would do a King of the Ring style event. I mean, it just, these shows did not click up and down. They just were not really very good at all. And we ended up seeing Shelton Benjamin defeat Katsuyori Shibata, who a lot of people thought would win the whole thing. And if he didn't win the whole thing, he beat Shelton Benjamin, who's not exactly, you know, a star there or that great or anything like that. So I think him losing and Bad Luck Fale defeating Tetsuya Naito was just a real surprise, and it just they weren't the best matches in the world or anything like that, which led into the semifinals of Bad Luck Fale defeating Shelton Benjamin in a match that no one cared about, and then Shinsuke Nakamura defeating Minoru Suzuki in a match that was pretty good. It only went 13 minutes, and it didn't have the people really heavily invested into it, which led to a final of Shinsuke Nakamura defeating Bad Luck Fale, who, you know, he's a guy that they like. He's a big guy who really should be serving in the role of just a bodyguard, which he does, but that's really the only role he should be in right now, because he's not that good in the ring. And it was, to me, it was just something that was quite unbelievable for New Japan to do, which I think the crowd seemingly kind of took it like that too, of this, it just didn't quite work out the way it was probably supposed to. Although there was one really good match, which was probably not a surprise here. The semi-main event of last night's show, which saw Kota Ibushi, Tetsuya Naito, and El Desperado defeating Kazuchika Okada, Gato, and Tomohiro Ishii in 14 minutes. That was actually really, really good. But as far as, you know, going out of your way to see any of the shows that just took place over the weekend, I would actually, you know, push you heavily against it, because to me it wasn't a good representation of what New Japan's been doing.
But what are they doing?
Well, it's going to, well, at the end of the whole thing, it sets up a challenge for either the IWGP title or now they've added in the Intercontinental title. And it looks as though Shinsuke Nakamura will choose, instead of choosing the IWGP title, which I know they like having, and they look at these things as equal titles, but to do this too often, I think it could devalue the IWGP title down the line. But Shinsuke Nakamura, who lost to Tanahashi earlier on this year to lose his Intercontinental title, will challenge him back for it instead of choosing Okada for the IWGP title, which is a dream match and one of those matches that has not taken place that people really want to see. So I understand why they can hold it off a little bit longer. I don't exactly like the idea of, you know, always making the IWGP title look like, you know, a secondary title, especially when someone so good as such as Okada is holding it. You know, they've done a good job making it 50-50. I just think if it happens too much, it's a mistake.
Well, let me ask you this question, since there have been arguments about it on our board. And this relates to WWE as well, the idea of, let's just say they did a match and they unified the Intercontinental and the U.S. title and they put it on John Cena. You know, very quickly, the Intercontinental title would be the number one or the number two belt in the company. So this is what New Japan has done. They've got the Intercontinental title on Tanahashi. So now all of a sudden, this number two title is, in a lot of fans' views, actually the number one title over the IWGP title. But let's say that Bad Luck Fale beat Hiroshi Tanahashi and he became the Intercontinental champion. Is it still the number two belt, or is it now just a geek belt because it's no longer on Tanahashi? Have they really made this a strong secondary title, or does it just happen to be because it's on Tanahashi?
Oh, if they were to do something like that, it immediately makes it a geek belt again. That title was developed when MVP went over to Japan, and it's been held by, who has it been held by now? Masato Tanaka and a handful of other guys, but it wasn't until Shinsuke Nakamura got that title and built it up and was so strong and had such, you know, a great couple of years with it that he got it back up to the point where it was he was really the one that made it a 1B title because of his performances, and Tanahashi just took it, and obviously being Tanahashi is taking it over the line. So, you know, as soon as that belt drops back to someone who people don't really believe in, and that could even be Naito, I mean, that would be a step down. You know, if it's not, you know, Tanahashi or Nakamura, it's not the number 1B belt or number 1A belt, I guess, in some people's eyes anymore.
All right. Now, we talked briefly about Impact. Have you been watching Impact? Have you found a way to view it now or no?
You know, I didn't have a chance to look this week because of the NCAA Division I wrestling tournament that I'm doing some stuff for. So I didn't get a chance to see if it was up on the website. But, you know, I couldn't watch it last week because it was not uploaded up there. It was still the one from 2 weeks ago. So hopefully it's up there. I guess I'll check while you're going on here.
What's up on the NCAA tourney?
It ended last night. It was not as over-the-top exciting as it's been over the last couple of years as far as some of the buzz leading into it, but it was still as good, as exciting as always because of the way the crowd is and because of, you know, just some of the matches that took place and the rivalry between Penn State and Oklahoma State, which Penn State won their fourth straight NCAA team championship, and they had two individual winners as well, seniors Ed Ruth at 184 pounds and the amazing David Taylor at 165 pounds, both of which are seniors and both of which are going to be leaving college. But they came in there with Kale Sanderson, and ever since he's got there, he has turned that into an instant powerhouse. And just, again, a really fun show, some really good matches, not some individual stories as big as there's been over the last couple of years, but it's still fun to watch, good to watch, and also, even though the production, and there's lots of things that amateur wrestling needs to do to get itself, you know, more noticed, and do they need more bells and whistles, flat out. They really do need some more production and things like that to it. ESPN's done a great job with the viewing of the whole thing. They aired the semifinals on Friday night. They aired the finals last night. And every match was shown on ESPNU and on the Watch ESPN app, and all of them are still up there to watch on demand as well, too.
Got a report just now from the Binghamton WWE house show. This guy...
Binghamton,
I'm sorry. This guy admits he's been drinking, but he says, main event, Kane versus some guy from Aberdeen, Washington, never heard of him, in a steel cage. Bryan came out with his shoulder taped up, true professional. Fans chanted, "You sold out at Kane." Bryan won with the knee, probably around 10 to 12 minutes. I don't know because I am drunk. He said it was a 2.5-hour show and a lot of fun. And according to this report, also on the show, the Big Shoe beat Christian. So there you go. All right, everybody, head to a break. When we come back, more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Bryan Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet. At WrestlingObserver.com, Mike has alerted me of a crazy score on the UFC on FS1 show that's taking place right now. Mike, what is the score?
Apparently, I don't know if we've got some sort of, who is it, Caleb Starn side of type of situation here, but Michael Prazeris defeated Merabek Taisimov by unanimous decision, 30-25 on all three judges' scorecards. Even the UFC on Fox Twitter app said it was such a weird fight. So not exactly sure what happened there, but some sort of wackiness.
30-25. Wasn't Caleb Starnes 30-24?
I think his actually should have been higher. That ended up being higher than what it was because people were so surprised that they should have been actually like, if it's a 10-point must, you could have gotten one, and that's what it probably should have been.
I was voting for a 30-0, but I didn't get it. All right, everybody, we have got a lot of stuff coming up. Tonight is Total Divas. We're going to be reviewing that as well as Ring of Honor and NXT on the Bryan and Vinny Show later on this evening, only at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi and Dave Meltzer will be up with a Sin Limite show, talking all of the news, UFC, and more tonight as well, also at WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, Raw is tomorrow. We'll be up after the show. Our weekly call-in show available for subscribers is up at WrestlingObserver.com as well. So much good stuff, so head up there and check that out. We'll be back next week. It'll be our WrestleMania preview show. Next week will be the week before Mania, just a couple of days before I head to New Orleans. Well, lots to talk about there. It should be a good time. So thanks as always, everybody. Thanks, Mike. Thanks to folks at Sports Byline, Paul and everybody there. Darren, thanks so much for everything. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.